Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
I'm telling you, Wayne, there were... That's bad. Don't sweat the small stuff. I actually went to counseling over this, and my counselor told me, she said, Wayne, does that really matter if you're off, if she's off 35 people? Is this a heaven and hell issue? I mean, she's like, she told me, she said, really? You're going to get that fired up over 35 people? Yes, ma'am, I have. Well, you're ignorant. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Don't sweat it. William James, the famous psychologist, he said this, wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. I've heard people say, well, I think it was on January the 5th. And the other spouse says, no, I'm sure it was the 3rd. And you're sitting there, you're feeling like a moron because no, I know it was the 5th. You're like, who cares what day it was? Tell me the story. Right? Oh, I know it was in 2014. No, I think that was 2012. Get off of that. Proverbs 14 and 29 says this, a wise man controls his temper, He knows that anger makes mistakes. Do you know there's one letter difference between anger and danger? Oh, that's good, isn't it? You got it, didn't you, sis? I saw that. You went, there's one letter difference between anger and danger. Why? Because you can be angry and sin not, but you're very close. Yes, you are, because I've been right there. The Bible says a wise man controls his anger. The fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. And I've had to ask the Holy Spirit, God, please help me. I am really angry. Number three, the third thing the Bible says is that wisdom is gentle at all times. Wisdom is gentle at all times. That's not your answer yet. We're just getting you to number three. Philippians 4 and 5 says this, let everybody see that you are considerate in all. Everybody say all. All you do. Guess what? All means in the Greek. You ready for this? You want to know what all means in the Greek? You ready? It means all. What it means. You mean I have to be considerate when people are inconsiderate to me? Yes. You mean I have to be considerate to clerks who are jerks? Yes. When people are rude to me, I don't get to backlash to them. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and you're going to do your best to be like him, then guess what? He said, pray for those who revile you. How many's real good at that? Yeah, don't raise your hand. You know why? The first mistake you make is that we react to what people say and we ignore how they feel. That's not smart. We pay way too much attention to their words and we don't pay near enough attention to their emotions. You say, well, they exaggerate all the time. They exaggerate all the time. Well, they're exaggerating because they're trying to get your attention. Trust me. You need to look beyond the words and look at the emotion, because people don't always say what they mean, but they always feel what they feel. Mm-hmm. So if you're wise in a relationship, stop focusing, are y'all with me, on what your kids or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife or your boss says that tick you off, and start looking behind what they say. What is the emotions of what they're saying? And why are they feeling those emotions? That's what wise people do. You're being considerate means simply mindful of the feelings of others. When people, y'all remember this, when people are rude and unkind, they're screaming to the world, I'm in pain. How do you know that? Because I know that hurting people hurt people. And when you're being rude and you're being unkind, you're screaming, I'm in pain. Because people who are always in pain are unkind and they're rude. That is right. And when we invalidate other people's feelings because we don't feel it, we minimize the person. Guys, if your girlfriend or your wife says this, I feel ugly, don't dismiss it and say, you're not ugly. That doesn't help at all. What you need to say is this. I've had to learn this. What you need to say is, why do you feel that? Why are you saying that? Because you need to look beyond the words and say, why would she say she's ugly when obviously she's not ugly? I've had to learn this with Molly. Molly, I'm sorry. I just got to be transparent to try to help you. Molly's told me, I feel ugly. And the very last thing I need to say is, you're not ugly. You little ditwit. You look like me. How could you be ugly? But I would never say that. I only said that to make you laugh. Why is she saying that? There's a reason. I don't need to say, Molly, you're not ugly, you're gorgeous, which I tell her all the time, but I need to hear what she's saying. Why is she saying she feels like she's ugly? There's emotion behind that. There's a reason behind that. Are you with me now? Does this make sense? Okay, why do we try to convince people that their feelings are wrong and you're always going to lose at that one? You're always going to lose trying to convince people that their feelings are wrong. If I want to be wise, here's your answer. If I want to be wise, number three, I won't minimize your feelings. I'm not going to minimize your feelings. So now me and Molly need to have a conversation. Why, baby, are you feeling ugly? What's going on? Okay, because here's what I know, y'all. I can tell her that she's not all day long, but it doesn't change how she feels. And for me to say, well, baby, I mean, you're gorgeous, that still doesn't work. Let's get deeper. Because her words are telling me something. There's emotion behind it. Now, let's step behind what she said and let's find out. Let's go deeper here. And this is where most people, they don't understand. You got to start drilling down deeper and you got to start asking yourself questions. Why? Why am I angry? Why do I seem to blow up at my wife all the time? There's a reason. But you know what we don't do? We don't get still long enough and ask ourselves questions and dig down to the bedrock of why is this reoccurring? Why am I angry? Why do I feel this way? We don't do it. We don't do a good job of that. So I don't compromise my integrity, and I don't antagonize your anger, and I don't minimize your feelings. Wisdom acknowledges your feelings and doesn't diminish them. Here's another typical reaction when people don't feel what other people feel. We do normally two things. One, we belittle them. Here's what we say. Well, if you had half a brain, you'd know that's just not true. You wouldn't feel that way. And we belittle. And guess what? It doesn't help. Because regardless whether you think it's right or wrong or indifferent, it doesn't matter. That's the way they feel. And for you to say, well, you know, if you had half a brain, you'd know that that's just not right. Proverbs 15 and 4 says this, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. And I could stop right here and go 30 minutes without taking a breath on the power of your words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And we start telling people they're stupid, they got half a brain, they're dit-witted. You have to be careful because when you want relationships to flourish, you got to be kind with your words. Because that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's never been a bigger lie. We had a lady in Cleveland, she got beat up by her husband. And weeks later, months later, she recovered. But I'm going to tell you, the things that he spoke into her spirit, she still remembered 20 years later. I'm not saying she didn't forgive him, but buddy, that stuff's hard to forget. Okay. Have you ever come home from work, ladies and gentlemen, especially you that are married, have you ever come home from work and your wife walks in and she says, man, I've had a bad day. And then you said, well, you know what? Boy, I've had a bad day too. My day's probably been worse than yours. Mm-hmm. And instead of just sympathizing and empathizing and being considerate, this is what you say. You think you had problems. Your stuff's minor. Let me tell you what real problems look like. And you start telling your problems. And you know what? That's actually not helping the relationship. That's pretty foolish. Because the Bible says wisdom is gentle. And wisdom is considerate. And it's both possible that you both had a bad day. Yes. Is it possible that you could be considerate and hear this other person without trying to top it? I really have to pray when I hear people start talking about their stuff and then another person jumps in and says, well, that's nothing. You ought to hear this. It's like, I got to top your story. I'm like, come on, you little moron. It's a good thing I don't say a lot that I think, because then I'd be hurtful. But I was like, oh, come on. You don't need to do that. Quit trying to top somebody else's day and tell them you've had a worse problem. Sit there and listen to what they have to say. Amen. Here's another thing I've had to learn. Janet and I, when we get in heated discussions, here's something I've been very bad at. Okay? I'm trying to help you with my mistakes. I wouldn't let her finish. And I'd jump in and I'd start talking about where I think she's going. That's not wise. And I'd interrupt her because I wanted to get my word in. I wanted to show who was right. Now, here's what I do. Here's what I strive to do. I don't always get an A, but I strive. I strive to let her say what she wants to say and let's keep my mouth shut. And let her pour it out. Let her just pour it out and listen. And then if I'll just sit there and think about that for a minute, which is very hard to do, here's what I'll do. I say, now, can I repeat that? I think this is what you said. Is this what you said? And 9 times out of 10, it's no. That's not what I said. Okay. Then I need you to tell me again, because that's what I heard. Y'all are smiling, because y'all know it's the truth, right? But here's one scenario. If I'll just sit there, and Jen and I both are striving to do this, sit here and hear each other out. Stephen Covey said one time in a great book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, seek first to understand and then seek to be understood. That's powerful. Seek first to understand and then seek to be understood. Okay? So what I've learned to do is I've just learned to keep my mouth shut and listen, rewind it. Is this what I think you said? No, then say it again. Because that's what I heard. Okay? Number 4, wisdom is willing to yield to others. Here's what I have learned. Again, I wish I knew this 20 years ago. I didn't. The wiser you are, the better a listener you will be. Boom. Drop the mic. Right there. The wiser you are, the better the listener you're going to be. And again, I'm admitting to you to try to help you. I have jumped in, and in fact, I still do it to Mike. I've had to apologize to Mike many times. Mike, I'm sorry. Finish what you had to say. It's a bad habit, but I'm wanting to do better. I'm wanting to hear what Mike has to say so I can get all the information. Because if you're wise, you're not going to cut people off. Here we go. Here's your answer for number 4. If I want to be wise, I won't criticize your suggestions. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Y'all remember that. Okay? Why? Because there's going to be people in your life that's like drives you crazy type people. And they're going to sometimes give you the best suggestion and you're not going to like it because they're the crazy people in your life. But here's what I've learned. I can learn from just about anybody if I'm willing to listen. Okay? And I had someone last week in this church text me some things and I didn't like it. But I listened, I read it, it took me a minute, and then I responded because guess what? They're right. They're right. And I needed to hear it. Did I like it? No, I didn't like it. But I needed to hear it. You know what? God puts a person in your life to help you with your blind spots. Oh, dear God, I could preach this. Do you understand that no matter how great you think you are, you've got blind spots? And you need somebody that loves you enough not to tell you lies and feed you candy, but will tell you, look here, I think this is a bad decision. How many times have I been in my office and I've looked at this person and wanted to shake him and said, please do not marry him. Begged him, please. Oh, but I'm so in love. Yeah, but the sucker don't have a job. Oh, you don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. How many people you think I've counseled and married? Yeah, I understand, sweetheart. I'm begging you don't. Oh, but Brother Nealon, we got our own thing going. Yep, okay. Hope that works out for you. Guess what? It don't last 3 months. I ain't talking 3 years. I'm talking 3 months. You know why? Because everybody has blind spots. And you need somebody in your life that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Am I helping anyone tonight? Number 5, the Bible says wisdom is full of mercy and good deeds. Circle the word in your lesson, mercy. If I'm going to be wise, I'm going to maximize mercy. I'm going to major on mercy. I talked about this Sunday morning. I'm going to major on mercy in my relationships. In other words, it's wise to show people grace when they mess up, when they blow it, when they sin. Show people mercy, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because the way you measure out judgment is the way it's coming back to you. When you measure out mercy, then that mercy's coming back to you. But you're not going to get mercy when you're sowing judgment. Pentecostals, all of us in this room, stop being so judgmental. One day, you can get a phone call that radically changes your life. And here's what I found out, and I got to hurry, but I found out preachers have been very hard on something until their child did it. And then when their child did it, it was amazing how the rules all changed. Because there was a little darling now needed some mercy. And I've heard preachers, and I'm not being rude to preachers. I am one, and I love them. But I've heard preachers be very hard to people until their little darlings messed up. And now all of a sudden, that's not so bad after all. Guess what? You don't ever know when your little darling or your little husband or your little wife or your little baby is going to mess up. And you know what? Now you're going to want everybody in the church to show them mercy. And if you've been a hard nose, well, then guess what? That's what you're going to reap. I'm preaching now. Show mercy to people. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, you didn't either. It's amazing to me, people, how they get some of their thinking. Let's put it this way. Who's the wisest person in the universe? I want you to answer that. Who's the wisest person in the universe? Who shows the most wisdom and mercy in the universe? Then don't you think there's a little connection there? Don't you? If he's the wisest, he shows the most mercy, there's probably a little connection. Yes, I'm going to say it and it's going to be very strong because the Bible backs me up. Fools are judgmental. Wise people are merciful. Amen. And Jesus quoted the word, judge not that you be not judged. I'm not talking again about being easy on sin. Sin is sin. If you have it in your life, you're going to be lost. Not being easy on sin. I'm being easy on people because we all need mercy. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. But anyway, anytime I start judging you, I'm being foolish because you know what? All I can see is the outward. I don't know what's going on in your heart. And anytime I'm being merciful, I'm being like God, and that's wise. It's wise to give people the benefit of the doubt. It's wise to show grace and to show mercy and to be forgiven and to cut people some slack. God cuts me slack all the time. How about you? Can I see some heads shaking? So if God's ever cut you any slack, you know what is be a good thing for all of us to remember? We might need to cut somebody else some slack. Because guess what? If it wasn't for God's mercy, none of us would be alive in this room today. God doesn't give any of us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. If I got what I deserved, I'd already be dead. But he gives me what I need, and that's mercy. So if I want to be wise, I won't empathize your mistakes, or I won't emphasize, should I say it? I won't emphasize your mistakes. Wise people don't rub it in. Wise people rub it out. Thank you. Wise people are merciful. I heard about a kid, and I'm closing, about a high school kid recently who came home from school with a bad report card, and his dad blew a gasket. The next day he went back to school, and his friend said, well, what did your dad say? And he said, well, my dad got historical. And they said, don't you mean hysterical? And he said, no, I meant historical. He told me everything I've ever done wrong. If you do that, and if you let everything pile up, and when someone hits you in the wrong spot, you get historical and you drag all 15 years up, that's foolish. Because wisdom is full of mercy. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 9, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. There was a pastor, and supposedly this is true. He went up to a lady. He saw her, and she was in the parking lot. And he says, hey, I found out it's your anniversary. Happy anniversary. And it was their 50th anniversary. And he asked her, he said, what makes your marriage last? What's the secret to your marriage lasting for 50 years? And this is what she told him. I've never tried to change my husband. A day or two later, he saw the man. And he said, hey, congratulations on 50 years of marriage. How do you make 50 years of marriage? And he responds, he said, I've never tried to change my wife. Now, let me say this in closing. This is one of my biggest mistakes that I've made in my marriage. Again, I share my pain to try to help you through yours. One of the biggest things I did was to try to change Janet. And it was not good, to say the least. Because the only person that you can change is yourself. And you're going to make somebody very upset and very uncomfortable, and you're going to put them on eggshells all the time if all you're doing is pointing out their weaknesses and their blind spots and what they're doing wrong and not accepting them for who they are. Loving them for who they are. Janet has come alongside me and help mature me in many ways, and I've helped mature Janet in many ways, but there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it, and I did it the wrong way. If you want peace in your relationships, listen to me, young people. If you didn't get anything else out of this, get what I'm fixing to tell you now. When you fall in love, make sure that you fall in love with that person for who they are. Because if you don't, take it from Pastor. You're fixing to have some very unpleasant days ahead of you trying to change somebody that's not who they are, and probably that's not who they'll ever be. God has given all of us gifts and abilities, and you need to like that person for who they are. If they're an introvert, don't try to make them an extrovert. If they're the life of the party, don't try to shut them down. Love them for who they are. Have a lot more to say. But okay, number 6, and we'll be done. The Bible says that wisdom is impartial and always sincere. So here's your last fill in the blank. If I want to be wise in my relationships, I won't disguise my intentions. I passed through a whole lot, but in closing, the Greeks wrote a lot of the famous plays. Plato and Socrates wrote a lot of the famous plays, comedies and tragedies. But in the early days of writing these plays, what they would do is a man would put on a mask. He would put on a mask and he would run out and he would play a role with this mask in front of his face. And then he would run back and he would get another mask and put that on. And then he would play this role out. And that would happen 3 or 4 times. I'm telling you the truth. And where the word hypocrite comes from is this right here. Because this guy would play four or five different roles being different people. And that's where the word hypocrite originated from. Because he was wearing different masks and playing different roles. And you didn't ever know who he truly was. If you want to have peace in your relationships, don't wear masks. Stop lying to people. Start saying, you know what? I won't cheat you. I won't trick you. I won't fake you out. I won't take advantage of you. I won't deliberately mislead you. Here's my last statement. Fools are fakes, and wise people are authentic. They're real. You got to get honest, people. You got to get honest. If you're not willing to get honest, you're not going to go forward in your relationships. Let's stand, please.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.